We're going to turn back to 2 Kings chapter 7. And last week we started looking at this incident which took place in the city of Samaria, where the king of Israel and his people had been surrounded by the Syrian army, causing the people within the city to hunger and to begin to starve to death. Now, God had sent a message by Elisha, the prophet, that things were about to change. And when he came with the message, he guaranteed that by this time tomorrow, there will be plenty of food. Now, last week we saw that unbelief in God's word by the king's officer brought its own consequences to that man. And then we looked at the four lepers who had sat outside the city gates and reasoned within themselves, even if we were to get inside the city, we're going to die because the famine is in there. If we remain where we are, we're going to die. So that they reasoned that they had nothing left to lose if they faced their enemy, because the worst that could happen to them was that they would be put to death, which is what was going to happen in any case. And we saw that these lepers who started off with nothing, they had no food, no money, no clothing, and the sentence of death within themselves, that they ended up with more food, more money, more clothing than they could possibly use, and their lives were prolonged. Well, this week I want to take a step back from their experience, and before they reached the camp, we see in the chapter that the Lord worked a miracle before they came to possess all the riches that they came to possess. So we want to consider, first of all, this miracle that God performed. Now, the miracle happened sometime as the men, these four lepers, made their way towards the Syrian camp. You can imagine them making their way towards the camp in the evening darkness and possibly making a noise, because they weren't going there to spy. They didn't want the Syrians to think that they were spying on them, because they would then have certainly been put to death. They were coming, making it quite clear to the Syrians that they were walking towards them. So they wouldn't have been trying to keep themselves quiet. Now, as they were approaching the camp, the Syrians heard the sound of chariots and of horses and a multitude of men. And they said to each other, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Pandemonium broke out in the camp of the Syrians, and they all took off running. They didn't take anything with them. And in fact, as they went, they were throwing away their clothes and their weapons. Now, the approach of the lepers to the camp may have been used by the Lord for working this miracle. Perhaps the Lord had in some way magnified the stumbling footsteps of the men as they made their way towards the Syrian camp. Because we read there in verse 6, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army, and so on. Now, we know that Israel were powerless to liberate themselves from this siege that came upon them by the Syrians. They had been surrounded, and they were completely powerless to redeem themselves, to liberate themselves. But although they were powerless, God was not powerless. God is never powerless. We, if we acknowledge the truth, are always powerless. We have no real power except what God affords us. But that's not how God is. He has always got all power at his disposal. He attacked the Syrian army not by sending a great army of people against them and overcoming them, not even by sending an army of angels, which he had done on another occasion when the Assyrians had surrounded Jerusalem, when Hezekiah was king. He didn't send any army. He just merely used the noise that the Syrians heard, the noise of soldiers, the noise of chariots, and the noise of horses. Now, perhaps he magnified the noise that the four lepers were making as they walked towards the camp, or perhaps he had put a noise into the air to make it appear as if there was a great army about to come down on top of them. Or maybe the noise that he created was merely in the minds of the Syrians. Maybe there was no noise, but they imagined that there was a noise. We don't know because we're not told. But we are told that the Syrians definitely heard a noise. Now, sometimes our minds can play tricks on us. Sometimes a very small noise in darkness can to us appear like a great noise. The same is true spiritually. What might be a very small problem because we're in darkness and in ignorance as to the outcome of the problem, we imagine that the problem is a lot greater than it actually is. We make a mountain out of a molehill. And we've all probably fallen prey to that trap. Now, we don't know how God made the Syrians hear this great noise that they believed was the noise of chariots and horses and a great army. But we do know that it happened. The Syrians believed that there was a great army just about to come down on top of them. And they left everything. And the recipients of everything that they left were these four poor lepers who stumbled into the camp and could take as much as they could use. And they would never be able to use everything that they found within the camp. The siege of Samaria was over. Even although there was nobody in the city that knew that it had happened, and therefore they were unable to enjoy it. Everyone who went to bed that night in the city felt that he was still in this horrible den where death was making its presence felt. Some of them had already died of starvation, and they were feeling the grip of death laying hold over them. And as they went to bed that night, experiencing the grip of death, they were actually as free as the birds, because the Syrian army had fled and they were under no threat. They could have come out of the city and done as they chose, but they didn't, because they were unaware of it. They were ignorant of it. And that's the case with many of the blessings that God has laid up for his people. We could enjoy the blessings if we knew that the blessings were there for us. And the only reason that we can't enjoy the blessings is because we're ignorant of them. We don't know the liberty that is ours. And therefore, we cannot enjoy the great blessings that that liberty has afforded us. The ignorance of the people of the city kept them imprisoned, when in actual fact they had been liberated. So there's a lesson there for us, that we ought to know what God is able to do for us. We ought to study the liberty that Christ has purchased for his people, and we ought to seek to familiarize ourselves with the promises of God so that we can plead them at the throne of grace. Now, these people were ignorant of them, but they should have gone to bed considering the words of the prophet, but they hadn't. Because the prophet had told them that by this time tomorrow there will be plenty of food. They ought to have been anticipating that, but they didn't, because they didn't believe the words of the prophet. And the same could be true of us unless we lay hold of the word that God has given to us through the prophets and the apostles. Unless we're anticipating these blessings, then we won't be able to enjoy them. We will be kept in bondage, just as the people in the city of Samaria were kept in bondage because of their ignorance, when in actual fact they had been liberated and there was plenty of food in store for them, which they would experience the following day. The second thing that we want to consider is the leper's responsibility. The lepers rightly enjoyed the miracle that God had provided, but they also realized that the gift that God gave them, that they weren't to keep it to themselves, that they had a responsibility to share it with others. They realized that because in verse 9 we read that they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. And if we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." They realized that to remain silent was selfish, and that that wasn't the reason that God had given them this blessing. They realized that they had been worse off than everybody else in the city, but they now realize that they are actually better off than everybody else in the city. And they realize that it's wrong of them to keep this to themselves instead of sharing it with those who are in need. "We are not doing right," they said to each other. Now, if we receive blessings from the Lord, we need always to remind ourselves that the blessings we enjoy are not merely to be kept for ourselves to make us happy. God has blessed us so that we might share it with those who have just as much need of it as we had. Jesus said to his followers in his own day, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He also said that if we believed in him, that out of our hearts would flow rivers of living water. We have this living water within ourselves to let it flow, so that others might drink of it. We have this light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we might proclaim it, so that we might show it to a world that is in darkness. We are not to hide this light under a bushel. We are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if we realize that we have received God's blessing, we are not to keep it to ourselves. We are to say, as these lepers said, we are not doing right by keeping this message to ourselves, by keeping these blessings. Now, these men decided that they would need to go and tell the people in the city the good news. This is where witnessing begins. When we understand that others are perishing, that they are on the road to hell due to a lack of knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that message. And we are not doing right if we're keeping that message to ourselves, because that message can help them. And if we believe that it's helped us, just as the lepers believed that the blessing helped them, then they ought to feel the responsibility of sharing it. We ought to bring this news to others. Now, I know as good well as anybody else that it's not easy for us to speak to others about salvation. But Jesus didn't promise that it was going to be easy for us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that he would help us. And the Holy Spirit is able to use our feeble and weak efforts. We might not be the best expositors in the world. We might not be the most eloquent speakers. But we can communicate with people. It doesn't prevent us from communicating with people in other things that we feel that they need to know. So why are we prevented from communicating the gospel to them? Well, I believe that it's the powers of darkness that is oppressing us and trying to keep us silent. And therefore, we should recognize that we need the help of the Holy Spirit and go forth in faith, believing that he will help us if we will but speak in Christ's name. But unfortunately, many Christians don't progress past the stage that the four lepers were at to begin with. They just tried to hoard up everything for themselves. But thankfully, they had a change of mind and they progressed from that stage. And they knew that it wasn't right for them to hoard it up for themselves, but that they ought to go and share this news with everybody that was in the city. And that brings us to our third point, the compassion of the lepers. It took courage for these lepers to go to the city. They were outcasts in their society. And because they were outcasts in their society, they ran the risk of total rejection when they went to the city. They even ran the risk of being put to death if they persisted in bringing this message. It took a great deal of courage on their behalf. And it takes a great deal of courage for every Christian that brings the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost world. Because people don't want to hear this message. Christians are considered as outcasts in our society. We're considered as those that defile and spoil the fun that the world enjoy. We're considered just as the lepers were considered, to be unclean. They don't want Christians to be in their company. They don't want Christians proclaiming this message that they bring. Now, for these lepers to go to the city that was full of people which had no doubt despised them and ignored them and possibly had shown them little or no compassion whilst they saw them begging at the city gates. After all, lepers were considered to be dead to the society that they had come from. Sometimes families would hold a funeral for those who became lepers as they were being cast out of the city. Now, after such treatment, these men might easily have said to themselves, "Let them perish. They didn't show us any concern whilst they were in the position to have compassion upon us. They didn't treat us very kindly. Why should we care about them? Let them perish. Why should we share this fortune with them?" But thankfully, they didn't do that. The people in the city had to hear this message, and they did the right thing. They brought the message to them, regardless of what the consequences were going to be. They knew the people in there need to hear this message. They need to know that there is an abundance here waiting for them, because they are perishing, they're dying for the lack of food. Now, nothing shows compassion such as the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us than his people being willing to bring the message to people who may have in the past despitefully used them. Because that's the kind of compassion that Jesus showed us. We were unworthy to receive his love and compassion. We had despitefully treated him. We had showed him no love before he came into our experience and showed us love. And that's the kind of love that he wants his people to reciprocate. The love that loves the unlovable. Love that sets its heart on those that are undeserving. Because that's the kind of love that Christ showed us. And that's the kind of love that these lepers showed the people in the city. They wouldn't have shown much compassion towards them. They treated them as if they were already dead. They were unclean. They were to be shunned and kept out of society. But in spite of the way that they were treated, in spite of past relationships, they showed compassion and mercy towards those that were in the city. They went to bring this message to them. And the final point we want to consider is that the message was reluctantly received. But thankfully, it was acted upon. Since the lepers couldn't go into the city, they could only communicate with the gatekeepers. There were many people that they couldn't speak to, but they did speak to the people that they could. And that's the same with us. There are many people that we can't speak to, but there are people whom we can. And if we speak to those whom we can, maybe they can communicate the message to the people that we can't. Because the gatekeepers sent the message to the king's household. Not only to the rest of the city, but right to the very top. They made the king aware. The king was told of it. And we see that he received the message in exactly the same way as many people receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with skepticism. They questioned it. His first reaction was to think that it was a trap. He thought that the Syrians were setting a trap to capture them and to get into the city. And that's how many people treat the gospel. It's too good to be true, they think. It's a trap. There's a hidden agenda. There's something in it that we're not aware of. It's a trick so that we might be captivated and brought into bondage to the message that God wants his people to believe. They treat it with suspicion, because they think that if they accept the message, that their lives will become more miserable, that they will become captives to the things of God, which they believe is a drudgery and will make their lives even more miserable than the lives that they are now living. And they do that because of their ignorance. But thankfully, the king's mind wasn't completely closed. He considered the advice of one of his servants. Because one of his servants had encouraged him to put the message to the test, to see if it actually was true or not. And he agrees that that's good advice. That was a very sensible reaction to the good news that started off with the four lepers. The report might actually be true. And who knows, if we bring this message, even although it's going to be treated with skepticism, that it might just penetrate into one man's mind that might want to have it tested and might encourage others. Let's prove this. Let's see if there's anything to this message. Let's find it out for ourselves before we completely dismiss it out of hand. Well, thankfully, that's how the king responded to the advice of one of his servants. So he ordered that they take some of the remaining horses, because they had been eating everything that was in the city. But there was obviously a handful of horses left, which the servant had advised, take 5 of the remaining horses and send out men to find out whether this is the case or not. So the king gave orders that 2 chariots be sent out, that they were to go in the direction of the Syrian army towards the Jordan River. And they came back in the morning and reported that the message was actually true, that the Syrian army had fled, and that the road that they had travelled on was littered with their clothes and their weapons as they threw them off, so that they would be able to run faster. So you can imagine the haste that the Syrian army had left the camp. They left everything intact, and even what they were carrying, they threw away so that they could run even faster. The king then gave command to the officer on which hand he leant, the equivalent of a sort of prime minister, to go and take charge of the gate. Now, this is the man that had said the day before, when Elisha had brought this good news, that things were about to change, because Elisha had said, "By this time tomorrow, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." And this man had doubted and said, "Even if God were to open the windows of heaven, I would doubt that he would be able to supply food in such abundance that it would be sold so cheaply." Now, the following day, he's commanded by the king to go down and take charge of the gate, because the news that has been brought is good news, and the people will obviously be wanting to go out and to get a hold of this food and riches that they were able to plunder of the great Syrian camp. And in their hurry to get out, they trampled that commander underfoot. He was trampled to death. And so the word of the prophet was fulfilled concerning him also. Not only was the good news fulfilled, but the threat was also fulfilled, that he would see of it, but that he would not eat of it. And that's the case for all of God's word. It's not just God's promises for the blessings that he has promised to give to his people that will be fulfilled. His threat to destroy those that refuse to be his people will also be fulfilled. They will go to hell unless they receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. God cannot reverse his word. He cannot break his own word. He has never made idle threats. If this is what God's word teaches us, this is what God will do. Not only will he bless his people with the abundance of blessings that he has promised to give his people, but he will also cast those that have refused to accept this message into the depths of hell. So although this message was first treated by the king with skepticism, thankfully, they did put it to the test, and as a result, the whole city was saved. Now, this all started off with 4 lepers. And it started off with 4 lepers who refused to keep the blessing to themselves because they believed that it was wrong for them to do so. And every spiritual revival that we read of starts with just 1 or a handful of people. And what appears to be impossible for God to do, he proves that he's well able to do so. Christianity is the biggest religion in our world today. It started off with a handful of men, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who would have said that a handful of men would have been able to turn the world upside down, which is what the gospel has done? Let us never despise the day of small things, because God can turn small things into big things. He can do that in both directions. Maybe that's, as we suggested, is what he did with the noise of the four travelling towards the Syrian camp. He made it appear as if it was a huge army that was coming towards their camp and made the enemy flee. He can take a handful of loaves and a couple of fish and feed 5,000 people. He can turn small things into big things. He can use the message that we can bring. Yes, poor little us that aren't so good at doing anything for the Lord. He can use our words, and he could save hundreds of people through these words if we've got the courage to bring that message to those that need to hear it. These four lepers saved the whole city because they brought this message of good news. Because they reckoned that it was wrong for them to keep this to themselves, and that it was their responsibility to go and share it with others. Now, when we share the gospel with others, let us always remind ourselves, in case we become discouraged, that even although we're sharing the message with others, that we have no power to save anybody. The saving belongs to God. But let us be encouraged to bring the message, because it is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that God has chosen to save sinners. So if we're holding our peace, we're preventing God from saving sinners, because we are not giving them the means that God has ordained to save them. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of the early disciples are well known for some of the traits that they showed. But one of the traits that we see in Andrew is that every time that he's mentioned in the Gospels, it's because he's bringing somebody to Christ. It was Andrew that brought his brother Peter to Christ. It was Andrew that brought the little lad with the loaves and the fishes to Christ. It was Andrew, along with Philip, that brought a group of Greeks to Christ. Because Andrew knew what he had in Jesus, and he wanted to share it with others. What will we be remembered for? What traits do we have that people will remember us by when we leave this world? Wouldn't it be good if people said of us that we were always seeking to bring the message of Christ to them? That we always desired that people would be brought to Christ. That would be a great accusation to be brought against us. That we appreciated what we had in Christ, and that we wanted to share that with as many people as we could. The lepers wanted to share the good news of this abundance that they inherited with those that were in just as much need of it as themselves. And they weren't afraid, even at the risk of being rejected, of going to bring this good news so that others might be made partakers of it. May God grant that we would have the same desire, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it still is and will always remain the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. But people will never believe it unless they hear it. And God has chosen us to bring this message. May God grant that He would bless these thoughts to us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are small in number. There's just a handful of us. And we are impotent to save anyone. Yet you have given us the ability to speak on your behalf. You have furnished us with the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have commissioned all of your people to go into all the nations to proclaim this glorious message. Because salvation belongs to you and you're able to use that message to the saving of souls, even whole cities. We're living in a town of 100,000 people. Many of them who don't know their right spiritual hand from their left. They are ignorant of the things of God and the salvation that has been wrought for us by Christ. And we're asking, Lord, that you would give us the grace and the courage to go and bring this message to whosoever we're able to speak to. So that this message would be proclaimed. And if it is in your will, that we would see sinners being saved. Lead us to these ends. Have mercy upon us for our shortcomings. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing in Psalm 145 on page 444. Page 444, we're going to sing from verse 11 of Psalm 145. The glory of thy kingdom show shall they, and of thy power tell, that so men's sons as steeds may know his kingdom's grace that doth excel. We're going to sing to the end of verse 15. Psalm 145 at verse 11. The glory of thy kingdom show shall they and of thy power tell. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all, now and forevermore.